There's a party going on right here. It's a celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We're gonna celebrate a party with you. Come on now. Okay. Sorry. Time to get a little cool in the gang action going on here. You know, a little fun going on this morning. Good morning and welcome to the River Church online. People, welcome. We're glad that you are here and joining us via the internet. I'm grateful for this message today. I don't know about you, but when I start to think about celebration, I was like, man, do I bring balloons in here? Do I just make confetti? You know, I tried to look for those like popper things that you pull and they explode, and then I realized that it would be a mess in here. And you know, anyway, there's so many things about celebration that as I got into it, though, I'm like, oh man, it's so much bigger than just a few outward expressions of balloons or confetti. Celebration is such an inward thing, and it truly is a discipline that we are to work on in our lives. Now, we are finishing up the celebration of spiritual disciplines today. I'm sorry, we're talking about celebration. We have been talking about the spiritual disciplines over the past 12 weeks. You guys, this is the final discipline of 12 disciplines. And I'm not like Andy, who's was able to spout them all off. So he was really good at that, and I didn't practice it. So basically, what I want to encourage you in is this, that if you missed any of the different disciplines that we've been talking about over the course of these last few months, all right, here's the deal. Go online. Go to trcdurango.com. You can access them there. You can go to YouTube and go to our TRC Durango channel, and you can find them there. You can go to Facebook and scroll through the videos. You can find them there. You can go on our app, and you can listen to the audio of all of the messages. You can find it all there. So if you're going, gee, what did they talk about fasting? You can find it. Or, you know, I wonder about that submission message that Jill spoke on. You can find it in those places. So it's really been an amazing journey. Next week, we're going to have all of the people who spoke for this series. So Nick, Andy, Jill, and I, we're all going to be up here, and we're going to kind of bring things to a close. We're going to just kind of sum up everything and what we've learned and what we hope that you all have been gathering from this as well. So we want to invite you back next week as we talk about just finishing up, summing up all of the different spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about over the course of this series. So very excited about that. So let's hit celebration today. You know, many times when we look at the Bible, celebration is not necessarily the first thing that comes to our minds. Sadly, what comes to our minds is all of the thou shalt and thou shalt nots. But truly, and also the fire and brimstone, as we have so lovingly grown up with in some church theologies. But I'll tell you this, that celebration is a huge part of the story of Jesus. Celebration is a huge part of Scripture. Celebration is a major theme that runs throughout Scripture. When it talks about Jesus and his redemptive power, his authority, his resurrection, and all of this stuff talks about celebration. And I want to look at that today because really, we celebrate what we value. And when we read about all of the celebration that happens here, we can see that Jesus valued so much this idea of celebration. And we do, right? We celebrate what we value. We celebrate when we get a raise at work. Hey, I got a raise. Let's go get dinner. You know, or we celebrate when our team goes to the playoffs. We really celebrate when they go to the Super Bowl. And then we really celebrate when they win. It's amazing all of the things that we celebrate. We celebrate birthdays, which, by the way, shout out to my youngest son, who is 12 today on the 13th. So he's 12 today. So Jack is just getting old, which is really scary. But we celebrate all sorts of things. But let me just ask you, do you ever celebrate God and what he does for you? I mean, you know, aside from Christmas and Easter, when we celebrate the big things, do you ever just celebrate the small things? In John 15, when we look at this scripture in John 15, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we read at the beginning of this, Jesus is talking about being the true vine and that we are the branches and that when we are in him, there is amazing things that Jesus wants to pour into us, and he produces fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces these fruits, but we are grafted in, we are put into Jesus, right? And when we look at this, and then we can get excited about this in verse 11, where it says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. When we start to reflect on Jesus in us, Jesus pouring into us, Jesus doing amazing things through us, that can get kind of exciting. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. You know, we tend to think often about when we have this relationship with God that we need to be solemn. You know, we gather around the table to pray, we hold hands, and we get serious. I don't know if, I know that I've made this mistake in my life with my own kids, and I get caught up in the religiousness of even asking for blessings at dinner time. But, you know, the kids when they were younger, like last year, you know, they'd be looking at each other, making faces, complaining about the food, and here I am, or they're laughing, or they're doing whatever, and here I am getting to the moment of saying, all right, you guys, now be quiet because we're going to pray and thank Jesus for the food. And then I close my eyes and I'm looking around after I close my eyes to make sure that all of the kids have their eyes closed. And Jill's like this. You know, she's just, no, she's not. She's doing the same thing as I am. But we're in this place and we're very serious. And then I say, Lord God, thank you for this meal. I'm not as dramatic as that, but you get the idea. We get very solemn, we get serious, we come to the church. I hope that you don't feel that way here, but in so many churches, there is this feeling of solemnness, this feeling of just big, overwhelming hugeness of God, and we just don't want to smile or do something irreverent for fear that God is going to strike us down. We think that God is pleased when we say the blessings before meal. But then, you know, just because of our laughing and stuff, we may feel that he has lost interest in that. But the truth is that God created laughter. God created joy. God created these things, and he wants to let us know that he takes delight in our joy. He takes delight in our happiness. He takes great pleasure in riotous yet wholesome happiness. God's all about that. He wouldn't have created these things, guys, if he wasn't about it. It is not a sin to laugh. And I hope that you hear that today. It is not a sin to celebrate. Joy is at the heart of God's plan for human beings. I suspect that most of us seriously underestimate God's interest in pleasure, laughter, fun, and all kinds of celebration. I mean, think about a child at Christmas. They get so excited. They can't wait to open the presents. They've got the music, the tinkling bells, all of the different things that have been going on for so long, since October now, that Christmas has been in the stores, and they've gotten all of the ideas for what they want for their presents and all this stuff. And finally the day comes with all of the presents that have been wrapped. They've been shaking them for weeks, probably breaking some of them as they've been shaking them, furiously trying to figure out what it is. And then the music comes on, they can run down, they can open their presents, the smells of the day are there. Do you guys remember this when you were kids? Oh, what a day. What a celebration. What a joy. You took delight in your kids as you saw them run down the stairs, right? Do you think God is any different when he gives you good gifts? When you wake up in the morning and you know that today is a day that you get to go fishing. And you put on your waders, and you go out into the water. Now, this might not be all of you, but some of you who are fishermen, you will take this time, and you will go, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I got to go out fishing today. And as you go out there, do you not think that God is going, well, this isn't godly time. How can you celebrate this? This isn't okay. No, God is going, enjoy. Have a blast out there. Good luck. You may not catch anything, but just enjoy it out there today. Here's the thing. Jesus himself entered the world in celebration, right? The angels, Luke 2:10 says, but the angels reassured them, the shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And then what happens? Big choir of angels comes out saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, right? God celebrated the birth of his son. God is all about celebration. Celebration is important to God. In fact, in Leviticus 23, you can read about all the different festivals that God created and God designed for the Israelites to remember and reflect on who God is and what his plan was for them. There's four in the fall, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the Feast of Weeks. I'm sorry, that's in the spring. And then there are three in the fall, the Festival of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and also the Festival of Booths or Tabernacles. All of these festivals had a historical significance, a religious significance, and as we now know, a prophetic significance, pointing to the time when Christ would fulfill all of them. So because we know he cares for us, we can cast our cares upon him, and God has turned our mourning into dancing. When we are focused on him, we can begin to lose the frustrations, we can lose the sadness, we can lose that stuff because we can, and we can turn that frown upside down when it comes to celebration. So, there's a few things I want us to know about celebration as we close this up. And one of the things is that celebration makes us strong. All right, when we celebrate, it brings joy into our lives. And that joy makes us strong. Nehemiah talked about this when they had completed the building of the wall, when the Israelites finished the wall around Jerusalem, and they came together. And Nehemiah says in chapter 8, verse 10, he says, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, there is a flip side to this. So we can know that when we have this joy in our lives, there are things that may seem a little bit mundane or routine, but when we have that joy in our hearts, those routine things in our life, we have the ability, we have the strength to keep on doing them. I don't think that building a wall around a city is all that fun. Yet, I would imagine that these people who were building it, in the purpose that they had, they were building it for themselves, they were building it for the Lord, they were putting this together, and there was a joy in their hearts, and as that joy was there, they built that thing super fast. There was a difference in their heart, and they chose to have that joy in them. And Nehemiah was going, hey, let's celebrate. I mean, think about this. Even after you've worked so hard, have had like the longest day cutting down trees or working in the yard or working on your house or just even coming home from a busy day at work and you're tired, how easy is it to just go, I am so beat, but man, I could go for a bowl of ice cream to celebrate the end of the day. Ooh, yeah. Take that ice cream, put a little magic chocolate magic shell on that, a little whipped cream, some sprinkles, a little, you know, cherry on top, and you got yourself a bowl of ice cream, and it's all good. And I'm sure that's going to bring a smile to your face. Even if you're tired, it'll bring a smile to your face to celebrate. It's the end of the day, and I'm eating ice cream. It's good. There's celebration in even that small thing. The flip side is this, though, that if you don't have the joy of the Lord, oftentimes you won't continue long in anything that you're doing. It'll eat you up. If you don't have that joy, if you don't have that joy and celebrate these things in your life, eventually those things will get mundane and old, and you might get burned out from them. I mean, think about it, the things that you started.
that weren't finished in your life? Did you have a joy in them, and is that why you finished doing them? Piano lessons. Did you have joy in piano lessons? If you had joy in piano lessons, you'd probably still be playing piano. But if you didn't have a joy in it, how long did you last? How about that exercise routine? I see some people that work out, and they've got the biggest smile on their face. They are exhausted. They're wiped out, but they're smiling, and I'm like, why? That is so weird. You're like sweaty and just stink, and you're just like, oh, but the workout was good. I'm going, I don't get it. I don't have the joy of working out. My son, Kale, keeps trying to get me into that joy, and I'm like, Kale, no, I just don't have it. But we're pushing through that, right? We're pushing through the pain, Kale. We're going to get back into it. It's interesting, though, like these things, when we don't have the joy, we find ourselves falling away from them. And I want to just challenge you that even in these disciplines that we've been talking about, from fasting to solitude to submission to prayer to study, confession to worship, if we don't have a joy in them, they're not going to last very long in our lives. Right? So I want to challenge you this morning. Celebration is a discipline that we choose to do. And as we choose to do that, we grow in joy. Richard Foster said, without joy, disciplines become dull. Death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. I want to just tell you that one of the disciplines that I talked about and love to practice is the discipline of solitude. And every year I go away for 3 days. Now, during this last trip of my solitude, I go in my camper and I go up into the mountains and I hang out, and it is so amazing. It's such a wonderful time away to just spend time with God. Well, before I was gone, I set up all of these rules, this stuff. I was like, I'm not going to listen to music. I'm not going to, I'm not going to turn on any technology. I'm just going to be quiet before God. I'm not going to bring any other books. I'm just going to bring my Bible and a journal, and I'm just going to sit in my camper, and I'm just going to reflect, and I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to, God, come now, type of a thing. And I got very religious in this moment where God was just going, would you just shut up and let's play? I totally heard him say that. It was crazy. It was through my wife that he said it, but I heard him say it. I came home and I said to her, she's like, how was your time? And I went, actually, it was really hard. I just have really struggled. And I came home frustrated. I had lost the joy of solitude. I chose to not celebrate in the time away. I chose to work in it, to get religious in it. And she said, I want you to take another day. And this day, just don't get religious in it. Just enjoy the day. It was great. It was great. To be able to go away again, to take that time and to do that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I had removed all of that stuff, and I just came before God. I put the joy back in my heart, deep down in my heart. Where? It was down in my heart. I know that word from Richard Foster sounds kind of harsh, but it is true. Joy itself is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, joy is like the motor that keeps everything else going. And joy then makes us stronger. When we have joy in our hearts and in our lives, we can get through different things. Now, there is a path to joy. You might say, okay, that's great, Mark. How do you get joy? It is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's one of those things that God produces in us. But, if joy isn't important, how do we get it? I mean, what's the process? What produces joy in our lives? Is it stuff? Does joy come when we get new boats? Or amazing Jeeps? Or amazing clothes? Or amazing whatever you put it in there? Is the stuff, does that bring joy? Is it people? Having the people in your life, does that bring joy? It does to a certain degree. How about, just other things? How about Bible reading? Does Bible reading bring you joy? Prayer? Going to church, these things do bring a certain level of joy, but eventually what happens? They kind of start to, eventually, stuff happens. I'll tell you that for a lot of my life, my way that I thought I could get happiness or joy in my life was by being good, doing good things. And so with my teachers, I would try to be very good. I would try to be the teacher's pet. I would try to do the things that they liked to have happen in the classroom. With my bosses, I would try to do exactly what they asked me to do so that I would not cause waves, but also so that they would like me. And by being then liked by them, then I knew that I was getting the pats on the back, the good jobs, and therefore it made me feel good. And so I was finding joy in doing all of these different things. And eventually what I realized is that all of this stuff was burning me out. I was getting tired and more tired and more tired because I kept on trying to find joy in all of these other things that weren't the right place to find joy. Truthfully, the answer to getting joy in your life is obedience in God. Now, that is so weird to say that, to think that, but let me just have you walk this out with me and process this with me. What is it that brings about less joy in your life? Fear, anxiety, worry. And when we are following after God, God has this amazing plan for our lives. Now, yes, sometimes life happens and we all struggle and we all fall and we all have hard times and we have hurt in our lives. But when we are obedient to the Lord and we follow after Him, when He asks us to do things, when we don't do them, what is produced in our lives, in our hearts? Anxiety, worry, fear. But when we obey those things, what happens? Peace. Peace overflows in our hearts. So when peace is there, it's a lot easier to celebrate. It's a lot easier to push through the struggle because we're like, no, I don't have, I know that I'm having a hard time in my life. The frustrations are there, but I've been obedient to the Lord and I trust in Him. I know that He's got a larger plan in all of this and I'm obedient to what His plans are. And in that place of obedience, there is an outpouring of His Spirit in our lives. And so therefore, then there's just this growth. It reminds me of that old hymn, you know, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Man, I'm bringing them out today. All the songs, watch out. It's important. Some people live in such a way, sadly, that it's impossible to have any kind of happiness in their home. And they hope that, you know, if they just can get to church once a week, then they can kind of get an infusion of joy in their lives. And where I believe that God does that to a certain degree, it's not a lasting thing because there's this disconnect of how we are to live here on a Sunday and then how we are living the rest of the week. And I want to encourage you, if you are continuing to be obedient to the Lord throughout the rest of the week, the joy that you're seeking on Sunday will last and continue and actually grow throughout the week. God's desire is not to transform our misery, but is to give us the strength to walk through it. Though the sorrows may last through the night, His joy comes in the morning. And so the Lord wants to walk us through. He has the comfort of the Holy Spirit, walks alongside us through the hard times, through the struggles, and sometimes carries us, you know, as the Footprints poem talks about. But there are those moments that takes place, but He's not going to just say, though the sorrow may last for the night, we're just going to move past that and go right straight to the joy of the morning. No, we got to walk through the night. And in those times, we will actually find that when we are obedient and sticking with the Lord, there is a greater growth in our hearts for a greater depth of joy. As Christians, we're called to freedom from care and anxiety through this. Matthew 6:25 says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Don't worry about this stuff. We are called to focus on the things of God. So I want to quickly finish here with just some benefits of celebration and how to practice celebration this morning. So we've got the idea of kind of what we need to do to get this joy. We have to be obedient. We get to be obedient to the Lord. But what's the benefits of this? In Psalm 139:14, it says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." You know, when we are in this place of celebration, when we are in this place of joy, we tend to acknowledge or know or see things from a different place. I think of Olaf from Frozen. You guys familiar with Olaf from Frozen? He's the snowman. He's this little frumpy little snowman that walks around and is just so happy all the time. Wonders at all this stuff. You know, he'd probably look at the music stand and go, "Oh, I love music stands. They hold things up. This is so great." As a little kid has wonder in their hearts, they see things from a different perspective than all of us who take things for granted and see things all the time. Olaf is this little snowman that looks at all of this stuff and goes, "Wow, this is amazing." When we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and we celebrate Him, and we celebrate God, and we celebrate life around us, we can look at the trees in the leafy trees and go, "Ooh, they're changing colors. I love when they change colors." You know what I'm saying? I'm not letting you know that you have to talk like that all the time when you're, you know, enjoying the leaves or whatever, but I'm saying, appreciate the moment. While we don't actively seek the benefits of celebration, there will inevitably be wonderful outflowings and results of celebrating Christ. The most important benefit of celebration is that it keeps us from taking ourselves too seriously. It helps us laugh at ourselves. And we all need to laugh at ourselves. We all need to laugh at ourselves. I take myself way too seriously. Jill posted a video on Facebook the other day of something that we did as early on with our kids, and we would have dance parties with our kids all the time. And we're playing a Newsboys song, you know, and it's just, we're having fun in the house, and my kids are really little. We're all dancing. It is super fun. And I have since lost that joy of dance parties, and I'm so bummed about that I want to get that back. I mean, during the COVID, during the quarantine time, we're stuck in the house, and Jill does this amazing thing. She orders dance lessons online, and we start to do the dance lessons, and we do two lessons, and there's like six or eight of them. And I'm so sad that I chose not to continue because I couldn't laugh at myself with my two left feet trying to dance in the house. I got embarrassed at my inability to dance in front of my kids and my wife. How sad is that? It's easy to happen. It happens all the time. But the benefit of celebration is that it helps us just not take ourselves so seriously. Celebration can be a great antidote for sadness, depression, oppression, focusing on self and self-esteem. When we are in a party at a celebration, when we are in the midst of that, when we see the other people dancing, we tend to go, "Well, if they're doing it, I can do it too. It's cool." When we are experiencing this time of playing together, we're not so focused on how I am looking, but how the whole group is just, we're just enjoying each other. Take the daddy-daughter dance. I'm sitting here at the daddy-daughter dance with my daughter, and we are dancing and we're having a great time. I look around and I see all these other dads doing the exact same thing. I don't see very many dads being like this with their daughters. "Yeah, how's it going, Frank? It's good to see you. I'm dancing with my daughter." No, those dads, man, they're out there, they're jumping up and down, they're doing their thing, they are looking so stupid. And it's okay, because everybody else is looking stupid, and we don't care, dads, right, how we look, because we are so focused on the fact that our daughters are looking up at us going, "You're the best man in my life right now." Oh yeah, that's right. It's fun to dance with your dad, isn't it? Yes. It's great. We can look ridiculous, and we're not focusing so much on our seriousness of life. Celebration gives us perspective on the world. Our our context, and the beauty of Christ. We can see when we celebrate all of the good things that God has created. Celebration allows us to be released from being arrogant or thinking that we are important. In doing so, it also frees us from being judgmental of others. Daddy-daughter dance. One of the beauties of celebration is that it is a self-fulfilling loop. Celebration creates celebration. Laughter creates more laughter. Joy brings on more joy. It is self-multiplying. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those YouTube videos where they've done the experiment where somebody in a subway car just starts to laugh. And everybody is serious, they're in their own world, but then somebody just goes, and they start to laugh, and then pretty soon everybody else starts to smile, and they're looking at the person, they're going, what is this guy doing? He's so weird, he's just laughing. What's he laughing at? I don't know, but he's laughing hysterically. We start to laugh. Laughter is contagious. Celebration is contagious. It is something that we as Christ followers should have in our hearts because of the joy that we have because of what he has done for us. Freedom from this hard stuff. Jesus rejoiced and celebrated in life so much so that people thought at times that he was a drunkard and a glutton. He wasn't. But he knew how to have fun. And I feel that that is part of his magnetic personality. It was something that drew people to him, was that here is this rabbi, this teacher, who knew Scripture and who presented it and walked in it with such authority. And yet he hung out with the sinners. He danced. He turned jugs of water into wine at wedding. Jesus, I'm sure, had a blast in life. And people were drawn to the joy that Jesus had. So, let me finish with this here of just how to practice celebration. We've talked about some of these things. Singing, dancing, shouting. Let celebration erupt from your bones. I'd like to bring the worship team back up as I finish with these things. Laugh. Laugh. Gut-busting laugh. Find things that make you laugh and laugh hard. Laugh out loud. If you laugh like, then just laugh like that. It doesn't matter. However you laugh. If it's just one big laugh. It's okay. Bring it out. Celebrate. We need to laugh more in life and be overcome with laughter at wholesome, good comedy. Hear that. Wholesome, good comedy. This is an important discipline to master. Indulge in unique aspects of humanity created in God's image. That is creativity and imagination. When you are sculpting, painting, taking pictures, when you are hiking in the woods and you see God's creation, when you are writing poetry, when you are writing a story, in any of these things, God has created us in his image, and part of that image is that he created us to be creative. Utilize the gifts, and you might say, I'm not creative, Mark. I can't do that. Okay, well, you're not off the hook. Go to a play. Go to a concert. Go to an art show. Hike outside, like I said. Take time to enjoy the creativity of others and God. Also, make family and friends events into times of Christ-centered celebration and thanksgiving. Make sure that when you are doing these parties, that you take a moment and just thank God. Remember what God has done in your life. Create big and minor, celebrate big and minor events. You finish a project, celebrate. You do good on a presentation, celebrate. You pass a math test, celebrate. You pass your driver's test, celebrate. Celebrate. Big things, little things. You're pregnant, celebrate. You retire, celebrate. Celebrate. You get married, please celebrate. Also, take advantage of festivals in your culture and community. Snow down. I know it's not happening this year, but in the past, celebrate. Men who grill, celebrate. Taste of Durango, celebrate. Iron Horse, celebrate. Celebrate. Go where those things are happening and enjoy and take delight. Also, serve and worship with your church family and immediate family. Do these things and celebrate together. John Ortberg suggests this, and I love this. This is my idea of Sabbath. The idea of setting aside one day every week to celebrate. What, you mean celebrate? Sabbath is celebrate? Celebrate and Sabbath. Here's what he said. One day a week, devote a specific day to acts of celebration. Eat food you love. Listen to music that moves your soul. Play a sport that stretches and challenges you. Read books that refresh your spirit. Wear clothes that makes you happy. Surround yourself with beauty and give thanks to God for his wonderful goodness. Take time to experience and savor joy. Then direct your heart to God so that you can come to know that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. This celebration frees us up because it gives us permission to celebrate Christ in so many activities in our life. This worship, this celebration, these disciplines, our choices. Why? So that we can get closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that we can pursue him, that we can press into him, that we can grow in that relationship. And I feel it is so appropriate that celebration is at the end. Because being at the end, it allows us to look at all of these amazing things. And without celebration, these other things at times can feel kind of hard, like I said. But because of celebration, we can have confession. Because of celebration, we can seek guidance. Because of celebration, we can worship. Because of celebration, we can study. We can have solitude. We can have submission. We can fast. We can pray. We can seek the Lord in so many things, guys. Let's celebrate together. Let's choose the discipline of celebration. Would you stand with me? Thanks, you guys, this morning. We're going to take this last remaining time, and we are going to worship this morning, and we are going to reflect. And I know that we've been fighting some crazy, distracting audiovisual stuff. But hey, I know that though our technology may blow up in the night, his joy comes in the morning. So we can push through this. The songs are easy. So I would just encourage you to reflect on the blessing and the glory of our King and how amazing he is and what he can do. So God, I thank you for this morning, and I praise you for celebration, and I thank you for the joy that we can have and find in you. We give you glory in your name. Amen.